powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we go
now. Well, there were punishments, Bump. There were punishments handed down. MLB announcing yesterday 12 suspensions for players and coaches after that brawl between the Mariners and Angels. The Angels have 9 of them. Mariners have 3 of them. But the Mariners also have the most suspensions, at least for Jesse Winker. 7-game suspension for Jesse, 5 games for JP, 2 for Julio. Question this morning, does the punishment fit the crime for these three?
You know, when it comes to Winker, I agree. 7 games, okay, I'm good with that, right? He walked over to the dugout. He threw some punches. He got things popping. If you look at the angles,
yeah. Man,
he got a nice little left hook going right there a couple times. JP, 5 games, we can live with that, right? He helps his boy out, jumps over the pack, Superman
sure. Punch.
I get it.
He had the most visible punches.
Yeah. Julio, this is all assumption now. Now, there's a moment, if you look at, was it John Boy? If you look at his breakdown of it, Julio definitely gets in the middle. Then he disappears.
Yeah.
Does he throw a punch? We don't know. If you can't see it, then it didn't really happen.
That's the thing. So we were talking about it earlier, and I was like, I don't know if Julio swung. He disappears for a while. Maybe if they're looking at something besides the broadcast, maybe there's something MLB saw that we didn't. All of that being said, I have a really hard time believing that there is something Julio did in the brief amount of time he was in there that is any worse than what many other players did. Because a ton of players were throwing punches, were shoving, were kicking, were pushing, were fighting. But obviously, only the most egregious violations are ones the MLB will issue punishments for. Did Julio seem egregious compared to anyone else's? That, I'll say no.
Nah, didn't seem egregious at all. I think he is a rising star in this league. So they are going to have all eyes on him. And yeah. I think that's a lesson that he learned. Like, look, man. You can't just blend in no more. You're number 44, Julio Rodriguez. You got a J-Rod section over there at T-Mobile Park. All eyes are on you. So they're going to assume the worst when it comes to you, even if there isn't any real evidence.
Well, let's figure out what these guys think about it. Jesse Winker pregame yesterday talking about the fight.
You could call it whatever you want. There were some positives that came out of it. I got a free pizza. Pretty cool. No, but, you know, it's a bad look for Nevin, if anybody. And, you know, it's something that, I think it's a bad look on Phil Nevin, and it could have been handled differently. That's all.
Jesse wanted to say something else there that might have been worse. And you know that moment where in a press conference, someone just stops and they go, yeah, it's what can you say?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I want to know what you were going to say because you were thinking it, man. You were thinking it.
Yeah, there was more he wanted to say there.
Absolutely.
But he also realizes that whatever he says now is going to get played over and over and over again. And what's done is done. You called out Nevin. You looked him in the eye. You backed up your boy J-Rod. Said, look, he's just a kid. You started this. You called him out. There's nothing else to do here but just accept your punishment and move on.
So I want to go back to the idea of him being just a kid because, if anything, I feel like one of the unspoken rules is, well, why'd you throw it a 21-year-old? In fact, Justin Upton, on an interview with Wyman and Bob yesterday, talked about, hey, I understand the Angels, I used to play for them, but that's not okay.
Mike's their guy, and, you know, the way that you get him out is you go in on him and you stay in on him. And, you know, everybody in the league does it. But they also have to understand that that's going to happen. I mean, I was there for 4 years. People try to pitch him in. They lose one. All of a sudden, this time, they decided they wanted to do something about it. But my problem is the way that they did it. It was blatant by starting an opener, and you throw at a 21-year-old kid's head. That's where I have a problem.
I think most people have a problem with it when it comes to that. And not only that, but even if you didn't have a problem and you were like, oh, you threw at Julio, whatever, you got their best player for, you know, one for one. There you go, you're done. Then you threw at Jesse. Like, then you threw at Winker? Because that's where Winker's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here? You already got it.
It's the double up, right? You've already sent your message. And then I'm learning more about baseball's unwritten rules. So apparently it's not okay to throw at a young guy's head, especially a guy who's on the rise, right? And you did it once. Then you try to double up with Winker. And it's just a bad look. You've already sent your message.
You didn't get enough out of it, though. They were like, we really wanted to hit him, though.
We want contact. And, you know, it's... I guess. Whatever. It's a bad look on the Angels, man, all the way around. I'm glad Julio walked out of this thing healthy, though. I mean, you're going at his dome piece on purpose. That's a different story. And then with Mike Trout, everyone knows where he likes the baseball thrown. He likes it low. That's his zone, low and outside. Boom, he's going to smash that thing. And the scouting report has been out on Trout for years now. So, Trout, this is just what your plate appearances look like. So, there's a lot of confusion going on with the Angels. They don't know which direction to run to when it comes to trying to defend this whole situation.
Yeah, they really, really wanted it to be personal, and they made it personal, and then they made it worse than they needed to the next day. Again, I agree with you. As far as the question, do the punishments fit the crime? For the Angels, sure, fine, you know, whatever. You know, fortunately for them, they didn't lose any really, really impactful players. Mike Trout's still there. Shohei Ohtani's still there. For the Mariners, three of their top four hitters will be out for some period of time. Now, they're going to be allowed to stagger that. And they've appealed, so maybe those suspensions will lessen. I doubt that it would for Jesse Winker. We'll all find out.
Yeah.
Either way, though, three of your four best hitters going to be out. Oh, and by the way, you already have Ty France out, Mitch Haniger, Kyle Lewis, Tom Murphy is gone for the season. Luis Torrens, by the way, just landed on the IL. He was the only injury from yesterday with shoulder soreness now. So, of course, the Mariners get an injury there. They are having horrible injury luck. And also, they were on a nice little hot streak for a while.
Yeah.
They kind of turned it around. They kind of injected some energy, injected some juice. Right? No PED puns intended. And and yet here they are. Curtis is, what? Well, I realize I can't say injected juice when I'm talking about baseball without clarifying that's not what I mean. I had to stop myself after doing that. But it is unfortunate, the timing of these suspensions, the timing of the injury to Ty France, the timing of all of this, when they were just starting to find some life.
And I guess it's a lesson learned, but it's almost like, what do you expect the Mariners to do in this situation, right? If this would have went down, if they throw out Julio, they throw out Winker, they hit Winker, the dugout is chirping, and we do absolutely nothing, like, we look like punks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the majors is like, look, man, you can get after the Mariners. They're not going to do anything. So you're danged if you do, you're danged if you don't. And the timing of this is all messed up. Winker's playing well. Julio's doing his thing. JP has been consistent all year.
Yeah.
You're pitching. We're holding you down until last night. Your rotation is going. So the timing is all bad, but I don't see any other situation. The way that the Angels handled this, it's almost like the Mariners were forced to get into this fight. Because if not, then people are going to take advantage of that. You know, if a team or the league sees a weakness, they're going to attack it. So I don't know, man. It's unfortunate, but I think the Mariners did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Tell me what you think about this. So Justin Upton, again, yesterday with Wyman and Bob. When you and I the other day were talking about, with callers and listeners, who were you most proud of? Who were you most embarrassed for? You said embarrassed for Phil Nevin.
Yep.
I started saying Phil Nevin, and then I was like, I got to add the umps too, though. Like, they should have taken Wance or whatever out, and they should have issued warnings before the game, and they didn't. There was just so many other things they could have done. Justin Upton with Wyman and Bob kind of defended the umps.
When Swanson missed, obviously it was at Mike's head. Nobody wants to see that. I think the part that I defend Adrian Johnson on this is that he didn't see post game, because as soon as the game's over, umpires go straight behind home plate into their locker room. They're gone. Minutes after the game, we're all cleaning up in the dugout, and their whole dugout staring over at us chirping. So the umpire didn't see that part. So there was no reason for him to issue warnings. He didn't see that part of what happened after the game. So, I mean, in his defense, he had no grounds to issue warning.
Now, see where Justin's coming from.
Yeah.
I will say, Mike Trout saying those comments was news. Like, the day prior, it was in the news.
It's news. You watch ESPN, it's one of the top three stories, Mike Trout. Whenever one of the best in the game speak, and especially if he's not happy about a situation, you're going to listen. The word gets around. It shows up on the ticker at the bottom. I refuse to believe that the umps just go home and forget about everything. Like, they don't watch TV and see what's going on. What's the temperature of the league right now? So that's negligence in my opinion, no, right?
Yeah, it is, because part of your job is to know the next day, right?
Exactly.
Like, part of your job is to know in the middle of this series. The series isn't done. It's one thing if you're like, all right, I'm done with that shift, with everything I did there. That series is over. No, you've got the finale the next day. You need to know the temperature of the game.
Yeah, you have to engulf yourself in what's happening, right? You got a 3-game series. It is my responsibility to control this series, right? Sometimes you don't have to do anything. It's butter sometimes. Everything's good. There's no beef or whatnot. But whenever there's some type of issue, you have to be aware. And I don't know what the protocol is with umps, but we get emails for everything here, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever something happens on this show, on that show, across the country, the region, we get emails. So if they're not getting these updates either, then, you know, what's the process like? How are they staying connected to the game? If they're not doing it themselves, isn't it up to the major leagues to provide them the resources to make sure they're up on game and what's going on?
A question for either of you. We don't really know the answer, but I'm genuinely asking. Are we thinking that in appealing, Julio might have the two games scrapped, or that MLB will be stubborn enough to be like, eh, no, we issued that. That's how it is.
I would hope that they look at the tape, and obviously we get the great documentation that is John Boy,
who has done
a service to all of us in sort of unpacking the beef that happened over the weekend. I just do not understand why Julio has gotten two games, and I hope that cooler heads prevail at Major League Baseball's offices in New York City, and I would be okay with a one-game suspension. I think that's something that can – that's not going to derail anything.
Yeah.
But, like, he said he didn't throw any punches. There's no video evidence to Julio throwing punches that we know of. It just seems absurd that he's going to be forced to sit down for two games.
They are assuming a lot. Now, you can look at the tape and say, all right,
he was in the mix. Yeah.
There's no denying he was in the mix, but there are also 25 other players in the mix.
Right.
And what does being in the mix mean? You could be pulling guys off. You can be pushing guys. You could be holding guys down. There's so many ways that you can go. But this is him getting superstar treatment, but not like the Trout superstar treatment. Like, oh, yeah, you think you're tough? Oh, you think you're something nice? You're still a rookie. You only have so many at-bats. Let's show this rookie that he can't get involved in this stuff and taper him down right now.
Is it bad that one of my lingering impressions from all of this is that Julio looks like almost even better? It is tacky that I'm thinking that, but the fact that the Angels were like, yeah, let's throw it that guy. The fact that the entire team was like, how dare you? And the fact that MLB in the first place is like, we're watching to see what Julio is doing. I'm sorry, but that is a little bit of star treatment, like you said.
It is. They're watching your every move, man. Whenever there's, you know, like I say, I coach, right? Whenever we're in the warm-ups and a team is focused on another player, right? They're jawing at number two. We had a kid, Dallas Daly, who's going to Air Force to play football. They're jawing at number two. And he'd get all upset. I go, bro, man. They're watching you, right? You mean something to them, right? You have their attention. I'm like, they're not yapping at number 78, right? They're not worried about him. They're worried about you. So if there is a silver lining, Julio has to look at himself like, yeah, y'all better be watching me.
Yeah.
Because I'm about to make some noise in this league for a very long time.
Man, I hope 78 isn't listening right now.
I don't even know
what
78
Bump,
is,
I thought
right?
we were cool.
My guy, whoever you are, 78, my dude.
Some random offensive lineman. How dare you? All right. It's probably an important time that I remind you guys that because it's Tuesday, we're going to be having the dugout. So it is all Mariners in the final hour of the show from 1 to 2 p.m. And, of course, we're going to be beginning the show with a Scott Service show. I want to but am afraid to ask him what it was like at the bottom of the pile. I didn't know that he was in there, you guys, until I saw the John Boy video. And I just desperately want to be like, Scott, what happened?
What's it like with that
What's
amount
it
of
like?
Bodies
were
on
you
top
scared?
Of you?
Oh, man.
Did it get dark?
At any point were you like, what am I doing here? I need to get out. Or did like the young catcher Scott take over and you just saw black?
I think
all.
In the moment it was young catcher Scott.
That's a young
Afterwards,
catcher
Afterwards he's
Scott.
Like, what the heck was I doing?
That's exactly. Somewhere in Scott Service still, deep, deep, deep inside, under the outside dad layer is catcher layer. It's deep in there, but it came out in that moment. All right, so that's coming up at 1 p.m. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
We also have a chance at Mariners tickets later on today, too.
Yes. Are we still doing the four tickets?
Yeah, four tickets.
Yeah.
July 7th game. So if you want to go see the Mariners take on the Blue Jays and keep some dirty Blue Jays fans out of town here, that's your chance. Headline number one, Washington Commanders owner Dan Snyder has not yet accepted a subpoena issued by the U.S. House Oversight Committee investigating allegations he fostered a toxic work culture in his organization. Hmm. What's the real headline?
In an ironic twist, Dan Snyder is about to find out what happens when someone else doesn't accept no for an answer.
Oof.
I mean,
oh, get him. Get him, Stacey.
Via ESPN, from the committee spokesperson, they said, we will not be deterred from obtaining Mr. Snyder's testimony.
You know what he reminds me of? When I go to a restaurant and I see a disobedient kid, when your mom and dad say, no, don't do that. Come here right now. And the kids are saying no, and they're yelling at him. And I make eye contact with that kid like, you better sit your butt down and listen to your parents right now. Like, stop throwing a tantrum, Snyder. You put yourself in a situation.
Yeah.
Do what you're supposed to do. Show up and defend yourself. If you really think you did nothing wrong, just defend yourself. Stop throwing a tantrum in this restaurant, please.
Imagine having the level of wealth, power, and privilege or whatever he has to be subpoenaed by a part of Congress and be like, nah.
No.
I'm good.
What time's that? I got a tea time.
Yeah, unfortunately. I got a tea time in France that I got to get to. I'm so sorry I can't make it. Like, I'm just imagining the idea of just telling an official, like a government body, no, I'll pass.
No, I'm good.
I'm good. It's a subpoena. It's a subpoena. You have to go. I don't know what else to tell you. They said they are committed to obtaining his testimony and committed to ensuring transparency about the toxic workplace culture at the Commanders and the NFL's inadequate response.
Show up.
Show up.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, after finding exactly zero takers, Kyrie Irving has decided to exercise his $36 million player option with the Brooklyn Nets. What's the real headline?
Well, I have decided to not become a professional model.
Oh, you decided that.
So much like Kyrie, I decided. It's nothing to do with, you know, not getting a zero offers or takers. It's me and Kyrie have both decided for ourselves.
What's best?
Unconnected with anything else, that we will stay where we are.
Focusing on your career.
We're just focusing on what we're doing right now. And much like I've decided, I don't want to be a professional model. Kyrie's decided he doesn't want to play for another team. We both decided that.
Yeah, and I walked away from the Seahawks. They didn't cut me.
Exactly.
I told them, nah, actually, I'm going to Canada. I'm going to go play in the CFL.
Like, I've always wanted to be a member of the CFL. I'm really excited. And so you know what? It's been fun.
It's been
John
good.
And Pete, but hey, I got to go. Not John Christian, and Pete.
It was
but,
Holmgren.
Holmgren at the time. It's been fun, but unfortunately, this is good for me.
That's
good.
Just it's another example of Kyrie living in his reality. Here's the messed up part about Kyrie living in his reality. It has worked for him. He's a millionaire, right? So we're going to laugh at him. We're going to point fun at him. But there's no other team that wanted him. But somehow, some way, he's twisted it in his mind.
Yes.
So it makes sense that he's making this decision. I just hope he plays good basketball and he shows up now.
I hope he's just thinking, can't afford me. I'm too good. Do you think he'll play good basketball? I mean, do you think he's got a great year in him?
I mean, he averaged, 27 points a game last year?
Yeah.
Limited duty.
That's better than I thought,
so
actually.
Duke can ball.
Yeah, he's got tremendous amounts of talent. He's just not worth the headache to 29 other NBA teams. Why would you put up with all that if you can get good performance out of other players and they don't give you that kind of headache?
I'm trying to think of players whose teams have decided they are certainly worth the headache. I wouldn't say Jimmy Butler is a headache, but not the best relationship with his head coach, though they've certainly decided, hey, it's worth it. He is our team. And they took him deep into the playoffs.
Different kind of headache.
Different headache.
Dennis Rodman was a headache.
Yeah.
But it was a headache everybody would take a chance on.
Yep.
Like, all right. You're not even going to score points. You're just going to give me 20 boards and just be annoying as heck to Karl Malone.
Done.
All right, let's do it.
Let's take it. Is there anyone else?
Kyrie doesn't have the off-the-court legal issues of, like, Antonio Brown, but certainly, like, inside the locker room and with coaching staffs, it's all about him.
Yep.
It is all about him.
I just don't know. I mean, I feel like that wouldn't fly with teammates, no matter how good you are.
It depends. Like, you need to have a bona fide superstar in your roster to call him out. Because if not, if you're not equivalent to what Kyrie is on the basketball court, who are you to call him out? Unless you're like Udonis Haslam, you've been in the league for 20 years and you're just the OG on the bench. It's like, you got to have a resume to call some dudes out.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. This trade happened during our show yesterday, but the Mariners have added first baseman Carlos Santana in a deal with the Kansas City Royals. What's the real headline?
Ty France could be out longer than we think.
Oh, that hurts my soul, man. Ty France was in the zone. And what is this time off going to do for his timing at the plate? What is it going to do for him defensively? Thank you, Carlos Santana. Thank you, the Mariners, for making a move, I guess, to bring a guy in. But Carlos isn't playing the greatest. I guess as of late, he's playing some good baseball. But he's not going to be equivalent to what Ty France brought to the table. Ty, please get healthy soon. I will send you a card in the mail ASAP.
Yeah, we talked about it a bit yesterday when news of the trade broke. Did you guys hear Mike Salk this morning talking about reaching out to his friend in Kansas City?
I did.
And he texted him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, does Carlos Santana have anything back? Got back. All caps. No.
Hope he's wrong. Scouts are wrong. I mean, it's an opinion.
Santana's had good numbers this month. I mean, look. Royals fans, they've been down bad for a long time. Yeah, they've won a World Series within the last decade, but, I mean, of course he's going to say that about a guy they just traded. Like, he's 36 years old. He probably has no value to them going forward because that's a team in transition. That's a team looking to rebuild, but I think the Mariners might be able to wring something out of him. I don't think this is just going to be a guy hitting a .180, no home runs. If he can get his average above 200, get that on base percentage where it is right now, which is like almost 350.
Yeah.
And add, I think, a little bit more home runs to his total, because I think he's only got 4 right now, then I think it'll be worth it.
Honestly, the Mariners are at a spot, depending. Obviously, the suspensions will be staggered, so they don't have to miss all these guys, but without France and without then another of their top 4 hitters at some point. Like, so getting someone out there who at least knows what he's doing. Like, even if it's like he's not making contact, he's not getting hits, but he can play first base.
We're begging. Like, we're begging right now.
He gives us some flexibility. He lets us put Dylan Moore somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're kind of at that spot right now.
On my knees. I'm
not
begging.
Fun.
Come
not
on,
fun.
Mariners.
It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. All right. Well, I let you know about the suspensions. We talked about whether the suspensions were fair. Let's move forward a little bit and look at life without one or more of these guys at any given point. Can the Mariners stay afloat without their biggest contributors? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, Curtis, can you repeat that news you just told me, which I think is really, really great? Let's get some good news
going.
Oh, yeah.
The delivery driver who is known for delivering the pizza to Jesse Winker, he tweeted a screenshot of a donation he made using a lot of the tips that he got from Mariners fans to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So, I mean, if this guy wasn't already an amazing dude,
yeah,
being able to gift that to a very worthy cause, I mean, how could you not love that guy even more? Simranjeet Singh, I believe is his name.
So. Obviously, there's just not enough people like that in the world. Like, I'm not one of them, I appreciate and respect people who are one of them. I think
Mariners,
it's a rare breed of
need
person.
To reunite, what's it, Sophie Ballgame on Twitter and Simranjeet at a Mariners game at some point this season. Maybe have them throw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
One of them catch, one of them pitch.
Oh.
I think that needs to happen.
I would love
Make
that.
Make it happen, Mariners.
Also,
I'm using my platform here.
The Mariners team store is now having, if you get a Jesse Winker jersey, you get a free Mariners pizza pin. They gotta have Sophie throw out the first pitch just for that.
Sophie
know what I mean?
Is generating dollars right now. Give her
Sophie's
her cut.
Getting it done, man. All right, can the Mariners stay afloat without their biggest contributors? The answer you might be thinking of is A, they won't have those contributors missing at the same time, which, yes, we know. So let's assume those suspensions, if not lessened, are at least staggered. Okay, so at any one time, they are only missing one of Jesse Winker, J.P. Crawford, or Julio Rodriguez. However, they are still missing Mitch Haniger. They are still missing Kyle Lewis. They right now are missing Ty France. They don't have Tom Murphy, who I know is a catcher, maybe not the biggest bat in the lineup, but still was contributing this year. He was off to a nice start for the season. So who's left? Who needs to step up? And can they help them stay afloat, Bump?
Let's be real. It's going to be rough, right? We try to stay optimistic, and I think that is my goal throughout the whole season. But when you lose all that firepower, it is going to be tough. And the first person I look at, there's some names that you could look at, but I just look at Cal Raleigh because he feels like the hottest player on the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
He was 11-0. We were 11-0 if he homered, but last night, obviously, he homered. Then they took that L, so 11-1 is the record now when Cal homers. But the guys you least expect to do it, if you can get those guys going, I think you're good to go. So I'm focusing on Cal,
yep.
But I also look at Adam Frazier because he is the former All-Star in the month of June, though. He's batting 136. Not too hot for my guy. 6 RBI. So he's got to get going, and hopefully he sees this opportunity and says, look, I'm going to be the leader of this team while these guys are out. follow my lead, young man. Follow my lead.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll start with Cal. I was wondering whether this was just a very, very brief hot streak, like an uptick, and that he would settle back down to something. Because we haven't seen the very best version of him yet. He's a young player. You don't know whether there's an actual change, an actual progression, and then you don't know whether he's just getting lucky and then he'll cool off. We spoke with Jen Mueller the other day of Root Sports, who said that she's seen some real changes with both Cal Raleigh and Trammell, and that it feels like, based on our conversation with her, that maybe some of these improvements can be sustained. And if that's the case, yeah, you're looking for Cal, absolutely, Bump, to be one of those contributors, but you're right. It's hard not to look at, A, your offseason acquisition, and then also your veteran to say, Adam, come on, man. A. Eugenio.
Exactly.
Come on, man. Got to be one of you guys.
And A. Eugenio, he's playing well in June, batting .263, 14 RBIs, 4 home runs. So there's reason to believe that he's able to do that. And he's a veteran. That's the thing, is that what makes a veteran important, what makes him valuable, is not just the numbers that he puts up. It's the experience. It's him being able to go through a slump. I guarantee you Suarez and Frazier have been on teams where guys have been suspended and other guys need to step up. So they know what it looks like to be successful in that situation and what it's like when you're not being successful. That's where these guys really come in. These young guys, they've never been here, or it's their first time going through this. You know, they're almost naive to the situation. So it's nice to depend on a guy like Cal Raleigh to get it done. But when it's all said and done, it's about the leadership in the clubhouse right now. So, yes. Suarez, Frazier, lead by example, lead vocally, whatever you feel is needed at the time. And that's another thing a good leader does. He knows what's needed at the time. In this moment, this is the leader I need to be. So they got to figure this stuff out.
I was going to ask, so I understand, obviously, even not only are football and baseball different in a million other ways, but the way that you lead in football and baseball is different, right? Like there's less of a rah-rah rally middle of the game thing and more of just like a, hey, man, like, don't know what to tell you. The pace is slower. Sometimes it's just not your day. You can't afford for it to not be your day in football. Whereas in baseball, it's like, hey, man, you'll get them tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, Bump, that at least one commonality with a good leader is they can stop A or attempt to stop A when it rains, it pours situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You get one error, another error. All of a sudden, you're striking out. Everything's bad. Bad teams or really young teams don't have the experience of bouncing back, don't have the confidence to be like, it'll be fine. And I wonder if that's where veteran players come in.
Yeah, I love that, because young players can get into a dark place and stay there. Now, veterans can do the same, right? They can get into a dark place with your performance and stay there. But it's all about your mental and finding ways to climb yourself out of that, whether it's changing up your BP, whether it's changing up your routine when you get to the ballpark, or little subtle things in your swing or your game, your preparation. Like, that is where I feel like in baseball, the leadership is so subtle, where you're right. In football, it's like, all right, fool, you got to go hard.
Yeah.
You got to run through this wall for me, dog. You know what I mean? You just can't do that in baseball. And it's such a long season. So you take turns, man. You take turns leading. Sometimes being a good leader means saying absolutely nothing and just feeling the presence of everyone else and understanding the vibe of your team. Sometimes being a leader is standing up and making a speech. But with so many games, I can only imagine there's so many speeches that a baseball player can tell.
There's only so much.
It's only so much.
Gets to the seventh, you're like, look, I've given two speeches.
All right, man.
I'm good. I'm just going to drink this Gatorade in the corner. Let's talk about what's actually maybe going to give them an easier road, is they aren't playing the very best teams. Now, I say that after the Orioles, like, whooped you 9-2. So, look,
gracious.
I recognize the danger in looking down your nose at any one team. The Orioles have some good players. They haven't been a good club, but they have good players. However, the pitching matchup is pretty good today for Seattle. You got Robbie Ray on the mound. Is it Dean Kramer? Dean Kramer? Curtis,
Dean,
what can you...
Well, we got Dean Kramer on the mound.
Okay, what can you tell me about the pitching matchup?
He's had a decent season so far, but he's only pitched in the month of June. He's got an ERA under 2 right now, 1.71.
Oh,
but he's only
no.
pitched 21 innings
okay.
this season.
Well,
so he's got a short sample size. But as we know, Robbie Ray has been one of the best starters in the American League over his last 3 trips to the mound. So I think the Mariners still have the advantage at starting pitcher tonight. And as we know, you're going to have to be very reliant on starting pitching as they deal with all these suspensions and injuries and whatnot to their lineup. And no better guy to have on the mound right now than Robbie Ray.
I was going to say, the thing that they at least having in their favor was, outside of George Kirby, those 24 games, right? without allowing more than three runs in a game. I mean, those make for manageable outings, even with this lineup, even without at one point Winker Julio, JP, Ty. You could three runs. You could do that.
Three runs. You should be okay. What can happen are two innings with back-to-back home runs. I believe six home runs total last night.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for a team that doesn't have their dogs in a fight. Now, last night, they had their dogs in a fight. Everybody was there, right? But so if you see the Mariners struggle going down early like that with their dogs in a fight, imagine how tough it's going to be when they don't have their guys. So that's where – this is where Robbie Ray makes his money. This is where he's like, all right, guys, I got you. I've been balling these last couple outings. I'm going to go out and set the tone early because now you get that bat in, you don't feel that pressure. You don't feel like I have to get this done. Could you imagine if – Kyle Raleigh does not hit that home run in the fifth, and they go into the seventh inning, and there's no hit out there. Now you're stressing.
And then every time you're that guy.
Yeah, now you're swinging at pitches you have no business swinging at. You're pressing it. And that's the last thing you want to do as an athlete is try to be something that you're not. Keep your at-bats consistent. Robbie, it's your night to shine, baby.
All right, we're going to talk some Seahawks here. We're actually getting back to the Mariners with MLB.com's Daniel Kramer coming up at 11. We're going to spend 15 minutes first, though, to tell you about the latest sound from Baker Mayfield. We finally heard from Mayfield. What did he have to say about his relationship with the Browns and the possibility of a trade? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we finally heard from Baker Mayfield, who I would say is leading the charge over Jimmy G when it comes to people thinking which of the two might land in Seattle. Now, yeah. There's been no concrete, you know, news. There's been nothing. It's been nothing but rumors, really, for either of them. And for the most part, it's been because Seattle is obviously one of the teams outside of Carolina and maybe one or two others in need of a starting quarterback. I know they have Geno. I know they have Drew, but they haven't named either of those two the starter. It's an open competition. So naturally, two quarterbacks are available via trade, and people are going to look at Seattle as a landing spot. We finally heard from Baker Mayfield in terms of his relationship with the Browns, what he thinks about a trade. So let's run through some of what he has to say. This is what he had to say when asked about potentially a trade happening a little sooner.
I think I got frustrated with it not happening before, like mini camp and all those things. But that's the stuff that's out of my control. And so, let those things happen and fall into place. And so right now I'm just controlling what I can and enjoying this.
Unlike Kyrie, this is a man who wants to work. He goes, look, I wish it would have happened before minicamp and all that stuff. He's saying, I wish I was at a spot by now so I can get working on my craft, get with a team. And the reason why we're hearing rumors about, well, the reason why people think Baker Mayfield is going to be a Seahawk because we're hearing rumors about Baker Mayfield. We're not hearing rumors about Jimmy G.
Right.
Now, maybe that's because he had a shoulder surgery and people still want to see if he can throw a football with a little bit of zip on it. But it makes sense that people are leaning towards Baker. And I understand. I've gone back with people on Twitter, my boys. It seems like people would prefer Baker Mayfield, especially when you have guys like Martellus Bennett. And I believe there's another receiver who said, Jimmy G is soft, this, that, and the third. Yeah, say what you want about him, but you can't deny his throwing percentage, his winning percentage. I understand Baker seems more of a dude, seems more of a guy that can be in the locker room, that is going to be in the huddle, be more charismatic. But he hasn't won a lot of ball games. He was at Cleveland. So there are factors that determine the way we look at both of these guys.
Well, and it's like we talked about yesterday, right? I think there are people who say, well, I don't want Baker here because I don't see him as the long-term answer. But I also recognize that he could win you some games. And I don't want to win games short-term and sacrifice getting the long-term answer, yeah, a new quarterback, in next year's draft. But you and I both agreed, Bump. Look, that's not how Pete Carroll plays this game, figuratively and literally. He wants to win. He wants to win. Does Baker Mayfield give you a better shot at that? Yeah, he does. So I can see the temptation there for Seattle. Let's figure out where that relationship stands right now between the two sides from one of those two sides. Baker Mayfield here talking about agreeing to move on.
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on. I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland. There's a lot of ups and downs and a ton of learning experiences that, I'll forever keep with me. Teammates and friends and relationships that I'll have for a lifetime.
I'm going to go ahead and add on with one more cut here before we react, and that's Baker Mayfield asked, and this is what I'm curious about. Is there a chance? Is there a chance that you could reconcile with the Browns?
No, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out, but we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides.
I think that's the only thing to me kind of completely eliminating the possibility of a trade is the idea that, well, Deshaun Watson will be suspended, certainly. And, well, they'll want Baker there. Baker's the best of their backup options. Sounds very much like, nah, that's not happening.
Nah, Baker doesn't want to be second fiddle. He doesn't want to be like, all right, well, this thing with Deshaun isn't working out. Would you mind coming back and playing for us? No, he's too prideful. And I'm not mad at him for that. He put in 4 years. He took this team to the playoffs. He battled through injury. He sacrificed his body, and it wasn't good enough for you guys. And his perspective is, okay, if it's not good enough for you then it's not going to be good enough for you now. Just right. Let me leave and let's move on. You guys deal with the issues you got going on now. I'm no longer Cleveland Brown. You guys bring in Watson, and his deal probably going to be suspended a year. Go ahead and bring in Jacoby Brissett and see how he does. But as for me, I'm speaking as if I'm Baker Mayfield. I am moving on. I'm ready to start a new chapter in my life, and I'm eager to get going. That's what I can appreciate about Baker is that he just wants to work, man. He's a ball player. He's ready to go.
Hypothetically, before we go realistically, all hypothetically, let's say Baker Mayfield's in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Is he a fit for the offense?
I think Baker, yeah. Yeah, he's a ball player. He'd be all right. You know, and would he be a fit? I think he'd be a fit, but I also think that it's up to the coaches to make sure that he is a fit. Don't ask him to do some things that he's not good at. Mm-hmm. You know, and I haven't watched hours and hours of film on Baker Mayfield.
What?
But I would assume off the what I have seen on him, he's not your traditional sit in the pocket, throw the football quarterback. He's that athletic, young, mobile quarterback that's going to move around and make plays for you. So he can fit, but it's up to the coaches to make him fit if you were here.
Guess that scraps our segment later on in the day, Bump's film breakdown of Baker Mayfield.
Great, Bump. Now we can't do
that. That's tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow.
Something else to talk about. This is so annoying. I was going to say, Bump, I'm assuming you've watched hours and hours and hours of Baker Mayfield tape.
So many hours.
What am I going to do now? So that was the first question, all hypothetical. Now the second question is realistic. Is there still a world where you see the Seahawks actually acquiring Baker Mayfield?
I do. I see a world where they acquire Mayfield. I see a world where they acquire Jimmy G. I see a world where they let Drew Locke go after it. I see a world where they consider Geno Smith. I mean, the situation is so fluid. It is so fluid. It's how much money is Cleveland going to eat off that contract? Are the 49ers going to release Jimmy G? Do we believe Drew Locke can lead this group of men? Mm-hmm. Can Geno be a game breaker and not a game manager? They're sitting at the table every night and scratching their heads and saying, which direction do we want to go? Because like you said, we all know Pete Carroll wants to win ball games. He's not just going to show up and say, all right, guys, good luck. Let's see what happens. He wants to win ball games. Who is going to lead them to win ball games?
The only thing standing in the way to me, Bump, is Cleveland saying, well, shoot, we showed our hand. And now that trade market isn't heating up. Not only that, but with Jimmy G returning to throwing and returning to some mm-hmm. football activities, the trade market might heat up for him as soon as teams start hearing, oh, yeah, he looks good. He looks really good. That arm still looks good. That shoulder's fine. Well, now we're staring at maybe having this guy well into the season. Well, now you're looking at really any team being a possibility. It's no longer just, is it going to be Carolina? Is it going to be Seattle? Who's to say Tampa? Who's to say Kansas City? Who's to say some other team with a starter that's not going anywhere, locked in stone, cemented as part of that offense, gets hurt? That's what Cleveland's hoping for. I can guarantee you that's what Cleveland's waiting for.
Yeah, you're looking at scenarios. I'm looking at the Giants as Danny Dimes the guy. You know, they look at Jimmy and Baker Mayfield. You can go over to Miami. This is Tua's make it or break it year.
Yeah.
Are they interested? You know, as this thing gets stretched out, and we're going to hear good stuff about Jimmy G, there's going to be no report that comes out and says, I don't know if Jimmy has it.
Oh, no, Jimmy's agent's going to be out here like, oh, Jimmy G looks really good from anonymous source.
He's got a burner account that he's going to just blast all on Twitter like, Jimmy looks the greatest he's looked in 5 or 6 years.
I want him to do the KD, forget to switch, presumably on TweetDeck, to his other account and just respond as himself.
Exactly. It's all a game. It's being played, and it's about to unfold here really soon.
All right, it's Bump and Stacy. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Now, 1 to 2 p.m. today is the dugout. It is all Mariners, but we're not waiting until then to talk about the Mariners. In fact, we're jumping into it next with MLB.com's Daniel Kramer. Don't go anywhere.